We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
I'm going to do everything in my power to make an impact, you know. At the end of the day, it's in the coach's hands. If the coach thinks I need a year. But that's not my goal. It's not to be redshirt. My goal is to come there, contribute, and ball out the best I can, honestly.
That is Greg Rousseau from the Buffalo Bills. As Brayton mentioned, they are going through their rookie minicamp. Happy Friday. Jeremy Azafi is back on Monday. Mr. Paul Hamilton, the pride of Amherst High School, filling in today for Jeremy. We appreciate him joining us. First hour, we were doing a little bit of hockey. On the serious side, talking about how you're feeling about the Sabres now. You were probably feeling a little better as the season came to an end. Better coaching. Young players looked good, right? And then the Zoom calls hit. The Eichel stuff, the Reinhardt stuff, everything. So how are you feeling now about them? But if you want to have a little more fun, we'll get to our list, the complete list at 8. But your favorite all-time Sabre, number one. Paul and I will go further than number one, but number one on your list, favorite all-time Saber, and why? 803-0550. You can also, if you didn't have a chance to get in with us yesterday on the Bill schedule, you can share your thoughts on what you like, what you don't like. I put up, Brayton actually posted the article. Thank you for doing that, Brayton. But I wrote a little article about my thoughts on the schedule at WGR550.com. You can call us on that. If there's something else you want to get to, that's fine too. You know, we can talk Iowa State football. Paul, let's talk Bills. We screw around and we do pick the Bills because for some reason people think it's interesting. So I went with 14-3 yesterday. No matter what the record is, I think people have extremely high expectations for the Bills. What are your expectations? You know, you were around 30 years ago. We would go into a season. You would clear out your January schedule because you knew the Bills were going to be playing. In all likelihood, you would know there were going to be multiple home playoff games, including an AFC championship, and we had Super Bowl expectations for a while there on a regular basis. What are your expectations for the 2021 Bills? Let's start there.
Well, and I do expect Josh Allen to continue playing the way he did, but there's still that little thought in my mind. I want to see it. I want to make sure that defenses haven't caught up with him. And, you know, make it a hard time on him. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think he is going to be up for it. I think he is going to play like he did last year. And I think the Bills will be fine that way. So I don't know if I'd say 14 wins. It's certainly possible. I mean, you would hope they'd be able to get off to a good start, you know, with Pittsburgh and Miami, Washington and Houston.
Yep.
I don't like that Kansas City, Tennessee thing. They did that last year.
Yeah.
Both on the road. That could go bad. But even if it does, you know, by the end of that, what are they, 6 weeks into the season? You would think they'd still have 4 wins.
I would, and also, I think they will, Paul. And also, the nice thing, if it goes badly, and last year it did, they lost both games. You come out, you have the bye week coming out of Tennessee. You come out of your bye week and you're home from Miami, and then your next two games are Jacksonville and the Jets. So you can, if it doesn't go well, you can easily reestablish things coming out of the bye.
Yeah, and the Colts are interesting because Carson Wentz had his success with Frank Reich. So can Frank Reich get him back to the quarterback that he's capable of being? We don't know. So, I mean, the Colts to me are a complete mystery of what they might be or could be. Or I have a lot of confidence in Frank Reich, and I think he possibly could help Carson Wentz, be the quarterback that he used to be.
Yeah, I want to get some calls here in a moment, but you know what, Paul? I picked them to lose to the Colts. I think it's going to be more of what you said in the tail end of that. I do believe Frank Reich will be able to rescue, resuscitate, whatever, to help Carson Wentz. And I think the Colts will win that division. There are a lot of things to like about Indianapolis and how they played last season. That was a tough game here. And I think Wentz will regain his form from where he was because Reich's done a really good job, whether it was being an assistant in Philadelphia on the staff where they made the run and got to and won the Super Bowl, or what he's been able to do in Indianapolis since he took over there. I do think Indianapolis is still going to be – I wouldn't call – I mean, they're not Kansas City. They're not the Bills. I wouldn't put them in – I probably wouldn't even put them in a second tier in the AFC. They would be in a third tier. But I think it'll be more on the positive side for Carson Wentz than the negative side. I got another question I want to talk about with you in a second. 803-0550 to join us this morning. David in Wheatfield, you're hang on, David. We are going to get connected with our fans again, brought to you by Bond, Shenick & King, a full-service Buffalo law firm. Now go ahead, David in Wheatfield.
Hey, guys. Good morning. I'm an old-timer. I was 15 years old in 1970. I was at the Odd for the Sabres' first game against the Penguins. My all-time favorite Sabre is the original Sabres, Gilbert Perreault.
Yeah, I want to ask. Let me ask Paul about that, David. Thanks, because I wasn't born and raised here. So by the time I got here, it was early 80s. I was at Buff State, so I did watch games. But I, you know, you might look at my list and go, you don't have a Perreault on the list, because I wasn't here to truly watch him every game and appreciate his career as a Buffalo Sabre. So I'm going to guess he would be on your list, but I'll let you address Gilbert Perreault.
Yeah, I mean, they're different because they play different positions. I mean, in my mind, Gilbert Perreault is the best Sabre ever. I don't even think it's close. But, you know, Dominic Hasek played goal. So it's hard to compare the two. You know, Dominic Hasek, the best regular season goaltender that ever lived in the NHL. So I guess maybe you go 1A and 1B or co-best players of all time just because, you know, their position is just so different. It's just hard to judge. And, you know, both went to the Stanley Cup Finals and didn't win. In both cases, probably didn't play as well as they're capable of. And that's why the Sabres didn't win. So it's interesting, you know, to pick who the best Sabre would be just because they're in such different positions.
We'll get to another call on this. Kelly in Tonawanda. Go right ahead. You're on WGR.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Back in elementary school, so it's a while back, my favorite player of all time has always been Jerry Desjardins. And because I was a street hockey goalie, or I played goalie for soccer, and my father was never a hockey fan, and your 8-year-old me talked him into taking me to a game, went to the whole game, and Al Smith, the backup goalie, played that game. So I never got to see him play live, but he was always my favorite.
Thank you for the call. I appreciate that. Jerry Desjardins, Paul.
It's interesting for people who are, you know, who saw the Stanley Cup Finals. Many people felt, had Roger Crozier been healthy, the Sabres had a really good chance to beat the Flyers.
So Crozier was the number one that season?
Yeah, because he had that, the pancreatic problem that, you know, really derailed his career. And quite honestly, Roger Crozier was the second best goaltender that ever put on a Sabre uniform. Hmm. But unfortunately, you know, he was ill a lot of the time, and he did get to play some of that series, but not a lot of it. And there are people who, you know, were covering the team at that time who feel that had Roger Crozier been healthy, the Sabres would have had a good chance to win that series.
Second best goalie all time? Not yes. Ryan Miller?
No. Ryan Miller would be fourth.
Who's third?
Barrasso.
Barrasso, huh?
Calder Trophy winner with the Sabres.
Yeah, no, you know what? It's funny. I'm trying to think. When would they have drafted him, Paul? That was
mid-80s.
Yeah.
Because that's the Housley, Anderchuk.
Yeah, I missed that. Okay, so I would have been gone a few years there. Yeah.
It's that era.
Yeah, I would have been. That was a window there where I was elsewhere. And no Darren Poop on the list, huh? At this point, we'll skip. So, you know, we're taking your calls, by the way. If you're just joining us, your number one all-time favorite Sabre and why. But we are doing a little football, too. So I wanted to ask you, you know, I wanted to bring this up, Paul. I think, you know, one of the things that's different about this season, last year we felt really good about the Bills going in, right? I think most of us would have thought for sure they're making the playoffs. likely winning the division. And beyond that, who knew? Like, you didn't know how far it could go, but you figured, okay, New England's got to be dropping down without Brady. And, you know, what's Miami doing with their quarterback situation? And the Jets were going to be really one of the worst teams in the league. So, you were set up for the Bills are going to be good. Question is, how good? Like, I didn't know Josh Allen was going to have the season he had. Diggs looked like a tremendous pickup, but, you know, I wasn't expecting him to rewrite the Bills' record book in terms of receivers and for Josh to rewrite the Bills' record book for quarterback stats. I think one thing that's interesting here, Paul, I think you will hear this as we get closer to training camp and as we get into the start of the regular season is, okay, now it's the old thing about now you're the hunted, right? You're not catching anybody by surprise. I don't know why the Sabres pop back in my head. 05-06. Wow, okay. 06-07, the pressure was on in the Stanley Cup playoffs that year. We knew they were good. They won the President's Trophy, and it made for a very pressure-packed 2007 Stanley Cup playoffs because the bar was so high. It was Stanley Cup title or bust. The Bills are there now, and I think sometimes when teams get there, like you wonder, you know, how do they handle that pressure? How do they handle the high expectations? How do they handle, you know, being one of the hunted and not one of the hunters? I will tell you, I'm not worried about that at all with the Bills. I think Sean McDermott is a fantastic coach at when it comes to not letting guys get caught up with the press clippings, not thinking too far down the road, being able to keep his team focused on a game-by-game basis and focus on what you need to think about, not the bigger picture stuff. So I'm not worried about that. I don't think Josh Allen or these guys are going to play any less effectively because of the pressure, because of those high expectations. They're the team, the Patriots, the Dolphins, and the Jets are shooting at in the division. They're not in Kansas City's tier yet, but they're in Kansas City's in their own tier as far as I'm concerned, and they're in the second tier. What about that, Paul? You worried about how they handle the high expectations and what we're all thinking is a Super Bowl contender this season?
No, because I think Josh Allen is a pretty level-headed kid. You know, every now and then he still gets that gunslinger carried away, but it's less and less. You know, it doesn't rear its head all that often that he gets that carried away. So, you know, that's something that I think he's up for it. And, you know, I think he has some guys around him that can help him if he does get a little carried away. Sanders is going to be here now, a guy who's been in the league a long time. And it can, you know, if he does get carried away, it can calm him down a little bit. So, no, I think they're up for it. I mean, I wasn't real happy with Sean McDermott in the Kansas City championship game. I thought he reverted back to a lot of when he was a rookie coach. I hate to say this, he almost looked like Dick Geron at times, protect the field goal at all costs.
Yeah.
Type of mentality, and that's not the type of mentality you're going to beat the Kansas City Chiefs with. But still, that was just one game.
Right.
I mean, Sean McDermott's changed so much since he's been the head coach of the Bills and really has changed his philosophies to the more modern coaching, the more modern ideas of what is successful in the National Football League, and he has changed with the league. So I'm not extremely concerned about that at all. I have a very slight concern, but not huge.
Yeah, it's an interesting point. I agree with what happened in that Kansas City game, but I don't think it's anything you should be worried about. It honestly, the concept of will he coach any differently? Will he be less aggressive going into this season because the bar has been raised so high? It's a little bit like the discussion on Don Granato, you know, like he was asked on his Zoom call, essentially, you know, if you get the job, the way you coached, is that the way you coach? Or, you know, what have I got to lose? I'm trying to win the job. I'm only an interim guy. Let's go, you know what, to the wall and see what happens. And if you got the job, would you dial it down a little bit and become more conservative by nature? I don't think, even though you're right about that game in Kansas City, he coached too conservatively on offense. I think McDermott is who he is, and I don't think he would change his philosophy because, okay, now the games are more pressure-packed.
I don't think he would either. I mean, Sean McDermott is a smart man. He's a smart football coach.
Yeah.
He's proven it. I mean, because he did change with the league. he realized that the league is changing, and if the Buffalo Bills and he want to be successful, he needs to change with it. He needs to change maybe some of his offensive philosophies. And you know, he's done that. So, I mean, there's no question this is a smart football man. And, you know, I would expect him to move forward as well.
And I think one thing to keep in mind, look, I think most of us, and we'll talk more about this in the next segment with Matt Perino from NewYorkUpstate.com, but I think especially with the, you know, band being back together with everybody they kept, I think we all expect the offense to be where at least where it was last year, if not reach an even higher level, which would be tough, but it's doable. To me, one of the things that bodes well this season, you would think, okay, Josh Allen's going to play at a very good level again. You still got Diggs, you've got Beasley, you lose Brown, but you add Sanders. You put Burita in there with the running game with Moss and Singletary. You kept your offensive line together. I think one thing that bodes well is, as last season was playing out, hey, the offense was like great right out of the gate. And the defense took a little time to come together for different reasons. I think getting Star coming back should help the run defense. You re-signed Milano, of course, but you get Star back, and I think you add some weapons in your pass rush. I don't think Rousseau or Basham are impact players. They're not going to start. I don't think they would get the majority of the snaps over guys like Hughes and Addison. But you've added a couple of other weapons in your pass rush rotation that should help the defensive side of the ball. So there are reasons to look at the offense and say, you're still going to be good. And there are reasons to look at the defense, which was a work in progress last year, and say, okay, you should be better coming out of the gate as well.
And what Star will bring to them might not be all that noticeable for him. You know where you're going to notice it? Is the linebackers behind him.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to take up players where now Edmonds all of a sudden is going to be free to make more plays and maybe to look like he did a couple of years ago. I know a lot of fans weren't real happy with him, but I think that's where you'll notice it, is him taking up bodies at the line of scrimmage, helping the linebackers behind him to start making a lot more plays.
Paul Hamilton hanging out with us today. We'll talk more Bills football in a moment with Matt Perino. You can get in on the schedule if you didn't have a chance to speak with us yesterday about the Bills schedule. 803-0550 to join us. If there's anything else you want to talk about, that's fine. We were doing a little Sabres too. If you want the serious Sabres topic, how are you feeling about them as we got through the first week of the offseason? It was a rather rocky week. After feeling a little bit better how they played to close the season, it was not a fun week. If you want just a fun, lighthearted Friday springtime topic, your number one all-time favorite Buffalo Sabre is who and why? Paul and I will give you our top 10 come up at 8. Football on the way, WGR.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Definitely just come in, just having fun with a bunch of the guys. You know, just ain't been doing football in a while. Just being able to go out there, you know, with a bunch of guys and with the same goal in mind. That's all I'm looking forward to.
That is Carlos Basham. As I mentioned, the rookie minicamp going on. We're going to talk a little football here. And we're going to be joined in a moment by Matt Perino from NewYorkUpstate.com. Paul is hanging out with us this morning, too, sitting in for Jeremy. Jeremy will be back on Monday. So you can join us on our Sabres discussions, the serious topic or the fun topic. And speaking of fun, you can talk about the Bills and their schedule since maybe you didn't have a chance to get in with us yesterday, the night games, the trip to New Orleans. If you are, by the way, quick update, if you're thinking of, maybe you've already looked into this, of going to New Orleans to hang out with me and Paul on Bourbon Street during Thanksgiving.
Can you imagine amateur night, which is the night before Thanksgiving, mm-hmm. Howard Simon and me let loose on the French Quarter?
Yeah, because they need pros like us when it comes to drinking to show them how to do it.
I think the station should send us. We'll Facebook Live while we're down there that night, and I think it would be a very, very good thing.
You know, look, you know me. I'm not a big drinker at all. When my wife and I went to New Orleans one time, I had one hurricane, Paul, and I was pretty much done for the night. So it would not. French Quarter is just the idea is hilarious. Anyway,
you're with me, I'll keep you up.
Oh, you can drink me under the table.
We'll be fine.
The Bills Saints tickets on the secondary market, the three sites I had checked, the cheapest ticket was $173. That's per ticket, by the way. That's not for a pair. Speaking of the Bills, let's go to the Western Hotline. See, this guy figured, well, these guys aren't going to bug me now until training camp, and he was wrong. Matt Perino is joining us, who does a great job covering the Bills for NewYorkUpstate.com. He and Ryan Talbot, and Matt is with us on the Western Hotline. Matt, it's Howard and Paul. Good morning. How are you, sir?
I'm good. I'm also looking forward to that New Orleans trip after a year of not traveling. I mean, we got some real doozies to make up for it this year.
Yeah, that's true. I forgot, you know, the guys that and Matt travels regularly to cover the club. None of you guys traveled last year, right? So Kansas City, Nashville, Florida in December, New Orleans for Thanksgiving. You do have some nice trips coming up.
Yeah, that we were just talking about that the other day. I was talking about it with Sarah when I helped them. When he roped us into helping him build his shed over at his house last Friday night.
Oh, whoa, slow down. Wait a minute. I have a whole bunch of Bills questions, but you just took this thing right off the track. Sal made you help him with his shed?
Well, he asked politely, and the good-natured souls that we are, Marcel Louis-Jacques, John Scott, Josh Reed from Channel 4, we went over and helped him out, put it together. And actually, when he opened up, when I got there and he showed us, I got there first, and he had the box open and the instructions out, and I was like, I'm not really good at that stuff, so I'm like, unless somebody's showing up here that really knows what they're doing, this is going to be a midnight-type situation. And luckily for us, Marcel Louis-Jacques took over and helped it. We got it done in like 2 hours.
I'm with you.
That was my pick. Marcel, I figure, was going to pull this out of the fire.
You got to have the ringer, because I'm terrible at putting together stuff. I have a neighbor. In fact, when we got our shed, I needed three of our neighbors came over. All three are very good at putting things together. And I needed three of them to basically show me what the heck to do. So here's the important question. I'm going to get back to Bills. What did you guys get from Sal? Like, was there a six-pack? Was there a pizza? Did you get anything?
Yeah, we got pizza. I'm going to mess up the name. It's this place that he loves over by his house. Buffalo City Pizza or something like that. I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head. But the pizza and wings, I'll tweet it. I'll figure out what it is. It was absolutely delicious. I definitely highly recommend.
Very good. Very good. Okay, the schedule came out. You know, you wrote your piece. Everybody analyzes it from top to bottom. What did you like when you saw the Bill schedule from top to bottom?
You know, going into it, like, I think first of all, you know, we do this every year where we take a look at the schedule in May or April when it came out then, and we try to figure out, like, the, you know, strength of schedule, the difficulty. We really don't know a lot about who these teams are going to be. I mean, I remember last year they went 13-3, and everybody was, you know, fearing that schedule going into the season. And I think teams just end up, you know, becoming who they're going to be over the course of the year. So, I mean, an injury can change the complexion of a team and everything like that. But if you're looking purely in May and what it could be, I think it's a nice schedule. I think that opening up 3 of 4 at home with the teams that they're playing, I think you like that. I was listening earlier and I heard Paul talk about those two night games back to back, which is the same two in a row they played last year. I mean, that's a little bit concerning, but it's almost like a do-over in a lot of ways. I mean, you're going to get to play Kansas City in week 5 after, you know, a really nice start with a chance to kind of exercise some demons, not only from last year's AFC title game, which didn't go well, but the regular season game where they basically ran the ball all over you. I mean, this is a stronger roster, I believe, and we can get into that as well. I think this should be a better team. Does that mean more wins? potentially, I mean, if they have an extra game to do it, I think the toughest stretch for me is that after week 10, they start a four-game stretch with Indianapolis and end it in Tampa, where I think depending on where they're sitting going into that stretch, I mean, that could be a real season definer. And I think that this division is going to be a lot tighter this year. I know a lot of people are, you know, not so high on Cam Newton and what that could be there and the unknown of Mac Jones, but New England Patriots are a much better team. The Dolphins are going to be good, and I think the Jets are even going to be better.
With the Bills specifically, Matt, you know, Paul and I were just talking about the expectations, the high expectations, the Super Bowl contender expectations. And this offseason was much more – the main thing I think the Bills did, of course, as you know, was re-sign their key guys. Yes, they did add some free agents. Of course, they had the draft. But it was about keeping their key unrestricted guys from leaving. Where are the biggest questions, though, do you think, about the Bills? When it comes time to report to camp and you guys are doing all your preview articles – where or who are the biggest questions for the Bills?
So I think first and foremost, it's this defensive line as a whole is the biggest question mark going in for me. I think that that's where there's the biggest opportunity for improvement on the defensive side. And I think if you get better there considerably, I think this turns into a really scary team. I think that's one of the things that makes Kansas City so good is that you have that potent offense, but you know, you got Chris Jones in the middle and Frank Clark, who was devastating at times in the playoffs last year. You really need contributions from that defensive line. And I think getting Starlet Tulele back is massive. I think it's massive for everybody around there. It lets a lot of guys go back to just being who they are. You know, most notably for me is Ed Oliver, who, you know, Quentin Jefferson had a little quip on Instagram about a month ago to a fan, nothing huge, but you know, basically saying that he underperformed here in the year that he was here, and he kind of retorted like, "Well, you know, I was played out of position," and they do tend to do that. And it's surprising to me even still that there isn't a bigger true one technique, whether it's a developmental piece, a free agent to kind of be behind Starlet Tulele. But I think it's about believing in what they have and also the coaching staff that they have in place. Last year, Eric Washington came in, and when he got here, the COVID offseason began, and I don't think he really ever got a chance to get his bearings and get acquainted with a group the way that you would in most offseasons. So I think as a whole, that group should be better just because of the circumstances of this offseason and going into training camp and having a preseason, not to mention all of the new pieces, developmental pieces, but also some first-year impact type pieces that they've added.
We're with Matt Perino, NewYorkUpstate.com. So, you know, again, Paul and I were just discussing this, and then I want to get to your thoughts on the AFC East. The higher expectations, the raised bar, the all that stuff, how do you think this team is equipped to handle it? Whether it's Sean McDermott, would he change as a coach at all because it's a completely different view of the team going into this season than it was a year ago? We knew they were good a year ago, Matt, but now we're talking about, you know, winning a Super Bowl possibly. Josh Allen, how does he handle that stuff? What about that higher bar? Do you have any concerns about how they handle that?
No. I think the part about Josh Allen is interesting. From a team perspective, I think that what he has proven, McDermott, over his 4 years is, number one, I've been saying it since 18 when I got here, it's rare to find a coach that gets the best consistently out of the roster that he has. And I think that he does a good job at finding, you know, the slights that, you know, are happening, whether it's around the league, whether it's locally, however that's kind of happening. Any doubts that, you know, on this team, he finds a way to highlight it and motivate his players. And you know, I don't worry about that too much. I know, you know, going from the hunter to the hunted can be something that fans worry about sometimes. But I think that at this stage, late in the season last year, as they were going through that year and had some of those big games against Seattle and San Francisco, I think they went into the playoffs as the hunted. I think that Indianapolis was hunting them. I think that Baltimore was hunting them. And they handled both of those moments well, and you know, in different ways. So I don't think that that's going to be a problem. I think that they're better. Like I mentioned, I think that they're stronger. I think they upgraded at a really key position. I love John Brown, what he brought, getting a chance to tell his story early on in 19. I thought he was just a great signing, but he wasn't available as much as you need them to be last year. And I think that bringing in a guy like Emmanuel Sanders, who tends to get dinged up, he's a little bit smaller as well, but he plays. He played in 14 games last year, and he was available, and he made, and he's got Super Bowl experience. That's going to mean something in this room. When you get to an AFC title game against the Kansas City Chiefs, and you need guys to make plays, and they're doing everything that they can to take Stephon Diggs out of the game. Cole Beasley's playing on a broken leg. You've got to turn to somebody and say, we need you to make some plays. And I like Sanders in that role. I think this offensive line is considerably better. We were talking about this on a show last night that I did. The depth on that offensive line all of a sudden is unbelievable. The two guard competitions are going to be so fierce. I might do 3 or 4 53-man projections this offseason. I might have a different set of guards every single time that I do it. And that's just the way it is. In terms of Josh Allen, though, yeah, I think it's hard to expect going into the season that he's going to replicate what he did a year ago to the level at which he played consistently, especially now that the book is out on him a little bit more. I still think he's tough to deal with, but I think the teams are going to have a better shot at defending him with all of the really good tape and 19 games with Stephon Diggs on tape. So I look for that to be an interesting storyline. How does Josh Allen react to being one of the best quarterbacks in the league consistently week in and week out with that bullseye? That's going to be fun to watch.
All right, Matt, final thing then, the division. I would assume you would still have the Bills as the favorite, but if not, you can explain why, and then you will no longer be coming on the show. But how do you – I guess who is the biggest threat, and how much of a division race do you see? How tight do you think it'll be?
Ooh, that's a great question. I still have the Bills as a significant favorite to win the division. The top foil, if you will, is going to come down to quarterback play. Yeah. And I think that the rosters in Miami and New England are both pretty strong. I think that they've elevated, you know, even on the offensive side of the ball in New England, where it's been a little bit puzzling how they've attacked that. I mean, Kendrick Bourne and Nelson Aguilar are the two receivers they bring. They bring the two tight ends. I don't know how all of that's going to work, but I do think that Josh McDaniels has an idea for how he wants it to work. So you give him the benefit of the doubt. You think that figure that offense is probably going to be much improved. And then in Miami, they've added nothing but weapons for Tua. I mean, there's no excuses for him not to take a significant jump. But what does that jump look like? If it's a Josh Allen-esque jump from year one to year two, all right, they're going to be competitive. I mean, they're probably going to win 11 games. But I think this Bills team is set up to win 14, maybe 15, depending on how this thing plays out. And so I think the Jets are somebody. What's funny about the division is that the division games, I think, are going to be so competitive because you look around at each team and what they did this offseason specifically, they've all added on the defensive line. So it's good that the Bills brought in all these pieces on the offensive line to make that unit as good as they can make it, because these defensive lines they're facing in the division, they're going to be tests 6 times this year, no doubt about it. So I think that those are interesting matchups. There's going to be a lot of, you know, after the Bills kind of change the dynamic of the division, you know, they're going to be a team that these guys want to beat. So they're going to be fun games. I think it's going to be a fun season, hopefully 100% capacity in stadiums. That's probably the thing I'm looking forward to most, no doubt about it.
You can read Matt's work, and we'll get a plug in for his podcast in a moment, NewYorkUpstate.com. He does a podcast with his colleague from NewYorkUpstate.com, Ryan Talbot. Get a little plug in. See, how can people listen in?
Yeah, just search Shout Bills Podcast on all the audio platforms, and it's always live on YouTube, Facebook, and my Twitter account. We always retweet it. Just search Buffalo Bills on NYUP on YouTube. Find the page there.
Listen, we're putting in a new door. You free this weekend?
I'm going out of town. Out of town. But listen, and of course, Sal, I believe, is out of town.
Yeah.
He's on vacation. So,
yeah. And I can't ask Paul. He's too old. So, all right. Well, I'll wait till you get back.
Sounds good.
Thanks, Matt. Thanks for your time. Matt Perino, WestHer.com. Paul, I know we got to get to the break, but I got a quick question. Hang on a second. I got to bring up. So I saw.
Did you forget it already?
No, I want to get the exact wording. There's a tweet from your good friend and former afternoon show producer here at WGR, Greg Bauk. Here's what he tweeted. You stupid, concussed, waste of working organs. Go back and read the tweet I responded to, then jump into a river. Now, first off, that is vintage Greg Bauk to you and to anybody, actually. But my question is, what did you tweet? I only saw his response. What did you tweet that led to that?
I think I told him it was 10 people. 10
favorite Sabres?
10 Sabres, not one.
Well, I changed the topic, but I was wondering why Greg would have tweeted that at you, and I.
He just tweets that. I actually tweeted nothing at him. He just does that.
So just randomly calls you stupid and concussed, waste of working organs.
He hates me, and he's a nasty person, and that's just the way he treats me.
I always thought he was a good guy.
I wonder if he would throw me a life preserver after I went in the river.
No, I believe he'd probably throw you the anchor from the ship.
The open that we have for Paul, that was actually Greg Bauk calling in to say he blocks everybody on Twitter and needs to grow up a little bit.
I thought it was a listener. I never even realized that.
No, it was a listener.
I was going to say, Greg is a good dude. I thought he was such a friendly guy. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550. Your number one favorite all-time Sabre. And why? Bill's schedule. Stat of the day coming up.
Yes.
What are we doing next?
Yeah, when we get back, I will have I don't know if it's really a stat. It's more of maybe a tidbit, but we'll call it stat of the day.
A tidbit of the day?
It is a historic trade that will live on in infamy.
Going to get to the stat of the day, or the tidbit of the day, if you will, from Brayton in just a moment. 803-0550 to join us. Chuck in Orchard Park. Thanks for holding on. Go right ahead. You're on WGR.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Happy Friday.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you. In terms of the Sabres, I don't really have, like, one favorite player. I mean, we have so many, like, great players in history, like Mogilny, Hasek, all them guys. For me, it was the line I couldn't, like, not watch was Pekka, Dixon Ward, Virata. There was just something about them. They were chippy. They had skill. They had grit. They had finesse. Dixon Ward did, at least. And, you know, they were just so productive, and they were the tone setters for all those, you know, quote-unquote hardest working teams that we had in, like, the mid to late 90s. And they were just so much fun to watch, and they really got me into hockey at the right moment in my life. And in terms of, where the Sabres are right now, it's just disappointing to kind of see where this has all come from when Terry first bought the team. You know, it seems like Terry and Kim can't really get out of their way. You know, you look at some of the most successful sports organizations, and, you know, half the time you don't even know who their owners are. And, you know, you look at the ones that are unsuccessful, you know, the Dan Snyders of the world. You know, Howard, I know a few people that work for the Mets, and they tell me about the dysfunction within that organization all the time. And, you know, I'm just kind of waiting for them to get out of the way and hire the right people. I don't know if that'll happen, but hopefully. Have a good Friday, guys.
Yeah, thank you. You too, Chuck. Paul, it really is. And I don't even mean the whole why are the Bills winning and why are the Sabres losing with the same owners. It is a stark contrast. But it really is unbelievable that they have gone 10 straight years. Granted, a couple year they had built a bad team. But it's amazing they've gone this long through this many general managers, through this many coaches. You're not supposed to go 10 years when half the league makes the playoffs and not even have a sniff of a postseason berth.
Well, the thing is, you know, people call them horrendous owners or whatever. They also own the Buffalo Bills.
Yep.
Who are one game away from the Super Bowl. It just is they found the right combination in McDermott and Bean. Because before that, they didn't with the Bills.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the mess they had with Rex Ryan, who couldn't have been a worse hire. And
Ryan, you know, and Whaley, Doug Whaley,
GM, and everything that went before that. But then they got it. They hit it. And that's what needs to happen with the Sabres. Since the Ruff and Regeer era, they just haven't been able to hit it. And, you know, maybe it's Adams and whatever coach he brings in. Who knows? I mean, we don't know what kind of GM Kevin Adams is going to be. It's his grade would be an incomplete right now. And, you know, now he doesn't have Ralph Krueger over his head trying to run things. I mean, it's Adams' show. It's not Krueger's show with Adams helping out. And you know, it's his deal now. So, you know, we'll see where that goes. And but that's the difference. It's the same owners that have the Buffalo Bills one game from the Super Bowl and have the Buffalo Sabres last place 4 out of the last 8 years. It's just they haven't hit on the right combination yet like they did with the Bills.
We're going to tweak our stat of the day today before we go to break, and we're going to make it more of a tidbit. Either way, it's brought to you by Cows of Buffalo. Get moving. We could let Paul try and do the moo sound today, but all right. Get moving with Cows of Buffalo. Container on wheels, mobile storage. Rent a cow today, 592-3343. Your tidbit?
Tidbit.
Historical trade, did
this
you say?
Comes from Steve Dangle of Sportsnet, and he has a series of videos on YouTube, does a really nice job of them, of trade trees, which goes and breaks down big trades that happened in NHL history,
yep.
Goes through who was part of them, if they're still going, if they're dead, or whatever have you. Steve Dangle did a trade tree video on Wayne Gretzky's trade back in 1988. It's like a 50-minute video, and if you want to go through the history of it, it's pretty cool. There was one aspect of that video where there was the possibility that that trade tree could die if one specific player did not make his NHL debut. He did yesterday. Drake Rimshaw from the Los Angeles Kings made his NHL debut last night, which means the Wayne Gretzky trade tree lives on nearly 33 years in counting.
Brayden, isn't the Rick Martin trade tree still going?
Wait a minute.
I think it is, yeah.
How could either of these trade trees still be going? A pick just kept getting traded or
right.
something?
No, like if picks or players get traded, they make NHL appearances. That means it still lives. And then those players could keep getting traded, which extends the branches of the tree even more. So Drake Rimshaw was part of the trade tree that dates all the way back to the 1988 Wayne Gretzky trade, and he made his NHL debut, so the trade tree still lives on.
It's like the Jagr stat
it is,
the Cup
it
Finals.
It is quite incredible. I mean, it's not obviously stat of the year worthy. It's I don't even know if you really count it as a stat. That's why I brought it up as maybe a tidbit, but I still think it's a really, really cool thing to bring up is that the Wayne Gretzky trade tree continues to live on with Drake Rimshaw playing in the NHL.
Well, the stat of the year is now the fact that the Mets have won 7 straight. That is the new stat of the year, the reigning stat of the year.
Not quite.
The city is on a losing streak, which kind of surprised me a little bit.
Mr. Hamilton, sit tight. When we get back, Paul and I will we'll talk about our list of favorite all-time Sabres. We'll do that, and hopefully we'll have a little time to get to this, too. The Stanley Cup playoffs begin this weekend, so I wanted to talk to you, Paul, about maybe if there's a particular first-round series you're most interested in, or maybe this, too. Think about this one, Mr. Hamilton, in the break. The team you would most like to see win the Cup this year, for whatever reason you choose, we'll do that, too. Phone line's open for you to join us about what we're discussing today. You want to bring up something else? That's cool. 803-0550-WGR.